From KUER News in Salt Lake City, I'm Diane Maggiapinto. Protesters and police clashed Tuesday night in Salt Lake City when officers wouldn't allow the groups to march in the street. Nearly every night for a bit more than a week, demonstrators have called for justice for Bernardo Palacios Carbajal, who was shot and killed by Salt Lake police about a month ago. Detective Michael Ruff says protesters didn't communicate to them where they would be.
When it's just random and we don't know where they're going, it makes it very difficult and very unsafe.
But organizers say they've been peaceful and were allowed to be in the streets until Tuesday night. Last night, protesters took to the streets again. Police did not keep them on the sidewalk. Instead, they walked through the streets, blocking traffic through downtown. The ACLU of Utah says public streets and sidewalks are considered public forums, and protesters can demonstrate there as long as it's reasonable. The city of Moab is asking the Bureau of Land Management to cancel plans to lease a large swath of public land around Moab for drilling. From KUER Southeast News Bureau, Kate Gretzinger reports.
The city council voted this week to oppose the entire sale, which is scheduled for September and includes 80,000 acres around Moab. City Councilman Kaylin Jones says the sale could hurt Moab's economy.
This is a massive industrial development that traverses some of our prime recreational areas.
Much of the land is off Highway 313, a two-lane road that leads to Dead Horse Point and Canyonlands. Trucks and tankers would have to use the road to drill wells and move the oil pumped out of the ground. But Grand County Councilmember Evan Clapper says the highway is already packed.
Trailhead parking lots are overflowing onto the shoulder of 313. There's road cyclists pedaling on 313. There's rock crawler jeeps driving 15 miles an hour on 313.
Clapper says he's confident he can get the county council on board to oppose the sale. He plans to bring the subject up for a vote at their next meeting, July 7th. Kate Gretzinger, KUER News.
Governor Gary Herbert announced yesterday he would likely grant Salt Lake County's request to mandate mask wearing in public, but doesn't want to mandate it statewide.
That I'm a local control person. I believe that those closest to the people are in that local government arena and know what's best for them and their community at large.
Herbert also says that masks would be required in all state buildings, including liquor stores and offices of the Department of Motor Vehicles. Utah has seen large spikes in COVID-19 cases over the past several weeks. A senior member of Herbert's staff has tested positive for COVID-19. The governor made the announcement yesterday and said he hadn't been in contact with the staffer when that person likely was contagious, but other staff members were. Those who were are self-isolating and getting tested. A fatal disease that affects rabbits has been found in Utah. The Department of Agriculture and Food says it has detected rabbit hemorrhagic disease, or RHDV2, in a domestic rabbit in San Pete County. The department says it is fast-moving, highly contagious, and kills 80 to 100% of infected rabbits, often presenting without symptoms. There is no cure. Humans and other animals cannot get the disease. The assistant state veterinarian says the best way to protect rabbits is to keep them away from other wild or domesticated rabbits. Utah's 2019-20 ski season goes on the books as the fourth best. Despite the abrupt and early end, resorts in the state recorded almost 4,400,000 skier visits. Ski Utah President Nathan Rafferty says the season brought record spending too, an economic impact of $1.5 billion. But industry leaders are anticipating a loss of at least $232 million because the lift stopped running roughly 1 month before resort closing dates. Lawmakers in Washington discussed a bill yesterday that would incentivize farmers, ranchers, and landowners to reduce global warming. The Mountain West News Bureau's Maggie Mullen reports.
Chairman of the Senate Committee on Agriculture, Nutrition, and Forestry, Republican Pat Roberts says the bill is about striking a balance.
Maintaining the health of our planet for future generations is, of course, paramount. So is feeding the billions of people that populate the Earth today and in the years ahead.
The Growing Climate Solutions Act of 2020 directs the USDA to create a program that would incentivize green practices, things like plowing fields less frequently and growing plants that are primarily for the benefit of the soil. Those land managers would then be rewarded with carbon credits. These are permits that allow the owner to emit certain amounts of carbon dioxide. The bill has wide support from the ag industry, but at least one environmental group opposes it. In a statement, Friends of the Earth wrote that carbon credit programs have, quote, exacerbated pollution hotspots in low-wealth communities and communities of color in the U.S. and throughout developing countries, unquote. For the Mount West News Bureau, I'm Maggie Mullen.
I'm Diane Maggio Pinto, KUER News.